Hello, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and Living Local. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS, and I'd like to introduce our host of Business Talk. He's the editor and associate publisher of Business West. Here's George O'Brien.
Okay, thank you, and good morning, and welcome to another episode of Business Talk. Hope everyone is well out there in the middle of this pandemic. Life goes on. We have a very interesting show for you here today. We have with us Paul Scully. He is the president and CEO of Country Bank. How are you this morning, Paul?
Hey, George. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming on with us today. We have a lot to talk about. We have the economy. We have the banking business. We have your own bank's 170th anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Imagine being that old.
I want to start, though, by talking about the Woo Sox.
Sure.
Is it the Worcester Red Sox or is it just the Worcester Sox?
It's the Worcester Red Sox going by the name Woo Sox. And we are, Country Bank is a founding partner of the Woo Sox. We're excited to be joining 20 others, 21 in the founding partners. And it's an exciting time for Central and Western Mass to, the thought, you know, just think about this year that we've had and the fact that so many of us have been inside or just looking for something to do, and the prospect of having baseball back, you know, all American right here, you know, within a quick drive for all of us is really for us. We're very excited about it, you know, for our fans, for our customers, for our businesses that are you know, throughout the area. So it's a great time. Country Bank, you know, our founding sponsorship, the park is coming along really quickly. They were shut down for, I think, about 6 or 8 weeks. Early part of the pandemic, they've picked up speed like there's no tomorrow, and they've caught up. We had a tour of the park about 2 weeks ago. It could have been warmer, but it was a great tour. It was amazing to just get the sense of what the park is going to be. And it really has some wonderful attributes to it that just represent the Central Mass area. And, you know, it's totally different from Fenway, yet there are some similarities. So unlike the Green Monster in Worcester, there's the Worcester Wall, which is a big blue wall. So you can't get the two of them confused. And it's along the first baseline. And Country Bank has an iconic sign above the blue wall, you know, for our sponsorship. And
that,
we'll also, the
backdrop that you have there for people who can't see you on Zoom.
Right. That's the sign. So that's all obviously the artist's rendition. It's not there yet. We're looking forward to having it put back up. But we'll have that signage. But I think, you know, equally important that really represent what Country Bank has been about for so many years is that we will also have the Country Bank Fan Center for fan experience. It's really kind of the code name for customer service. You know, you lose your keys, you lose your kid, whatever it may be, you'll be able to go to the Country Bank Fan Center. And it's, you know, really representative of a lot of what we've done over the years with service. And then we've partnered with the Red Sox on some really cool initiatives. You know, we've always had our Teacher of the Month program. Now we're expanding that with the Worcester Red Sox Foundation. And our partnership also includes throughout the year, we will be teaming up with the foundation to support local charities and community organizations. So it's really a partnership that represents so much of what Country Bank has stood for, you know, for the past 170 years. And we're excited for that, you know, opening day whenever that may come. Hopefully it'll be in April when they can say the ball.
How did this come about? This sounds like a natural for you. You've got one foot in Hampden County, the other foot in Worcester County.
So we're in Hampden, Hampshire, and Worcester.
Between the two cities. So.
Yeah, so we're in Hampden, Hampshire, and Worcester. So, you know, so we're all about. And, you know, I think that, George, when, you know, early on, when we all heard there was this possibility of the Sox coming, you know, to the region. And I think that's the piece that we really want to keep in mind, that they are coming to the region. They just happen to be headquartered or will be located in Worcester, is just what a great boon this will be for our area. So, you know, we kind of had a little bit of an inside track just hearing that they were interested, not really knowing if it was going to happen, you know, made a couple of phone calls. And, you know, ironically, they were really trying to keep the whole thing fairly low key. So, you know, I got a call one day and said, you know, would you meet us at the zoo in Mendon for lunch? And I thought this was utterly bizarre that, you know, I was going to the zoo. So I drove down and told everybody in the office that I was having lunch at the zoo so they wouldn't think it was a little strange that this, you know, middle-aged guy was showing up at the zoo by himself. And, you know, soon found out what their plans were and what their vision was. And lo and behold, you know, folks like the Crowley family with Polar Beverages and so many others stepped up to the plate, so to speak, in support of this. And next thing we knew, it was happening. So we've been really excited about it. Working with the Worcester Red Sox organization, with Larry Lucchino and Dr. Steinberg and all of the folks there. They are part of the fabric of Central Mass, of the community, and have really just been so representative of this area. We're excited for them. We're excited for us, but more importantly, we're just excited for the fans.
What are you hearing, if anything? There was no minor league baseball last year. Obviously, the Pawtucket Red Sox really couldn't say goodbye to their community. There was no baseball last year. You getting an indication that they might be able to play in the spring?
I think they'll be playing. You know, whether or not they'll be playing on opening day to a full, you know, park, that's probably a big question mark, as we all know. But I think that they will find a way to play. You know, like you with your question, we're curious too. I happen to live in Worcester. I overlook the park, see it from my living room, and I know that it's getting closer and closer. And whether it's April or whether it's, you know, later in the season, I think we'll get to a point, hopefully, that we'll be able to have some fans there. You know, I think like everything that we're going to talk about this morning, you know, the news about the vaccines over the last couple of weeks have really made such a big difference in everybody's prospects of what to expect in perhaps the second half of 2021. And certainly it's a lot brighter for things like baseball and business and the economy than it was in March. So, you know, we're hopeful that we'll be right there in the park cheering them on.
Okay. Well, congratulations to you on all that, and keep your fingers crossed. And
absolutely,
hopefully people will be out looking at the blue wall. For those of us who attended UMass in the mid-70s, that phrase has a completely different meaning altogether.
Okay.
Well, the Blue Wall was the famous bar on campus.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
And that's why election season was rather fun for us UMass grads. Kept hearing about crashing through the Blue Wall. We didn't. Anyway, we're getting off topic. Let's go back to another topic. Your 170th anniversary this year. That's a number to be proud of, a number to celebrate. How have you been marking that occasion?
You know, we've been marking it during a pandemic, and you know, we haven't really approached it any differently than we have every other year or perhaps any other milestone. You know, it's an amazing feat, I think, for any business and to be around for that number of years. And certainly, you know, the community banks in our region are all pretty much been around for that amount of time frame. You know, for me, I will jokingly say, you know, I've been now CEO for 16 years. You know, I just want to make sure, you know, that it continues on long after I'm there. And but it's been something that we've quietly celebrated, you know, been able to just let people know, you know, the amount of time that we've been in business. Certainly for those markets that are new to us, and the Worcester market in some ways is newer for us, to be able to say, you know, and talk about the longevity of the institution, as well as its size. You know, it close to $1.8 billion, and we have close to 15% capital, that we have such wherewithal to be part of the fabric of the regional economy. It's just really been a great message to share.
So it's been an interesting year for your bank and the entire banking community. This is mid-December, time to look back and a time to look ahead. Let's look back first. Trying year for all of the banks. You want to kind of sum up what it's been like to kind of continue to serve your customers in the middle of this pandemic?
You know, it's I think what we all saw was the resiliency of people, you know, whether it was our staff, whether it was our customers or our community, Clearly, you know, shutting down for the most part, branch operations at the beginning of March. We made the decision about a day or two prior to some of the others in our market area that we were going to do it. And I know for, you know, our younger members of our management team kind of looked at me and said, really, we're going to close the branches? Almost like, are we going to get in trouble? And I think we lose sight sometimes of the fact that everything these days, you can do just about everything through technology. And that, you know, people would be able to adapt quickly. And it was more, it was less about shutting down the lobbies to making sure that we were able to continue to serve customers. And, you know, all of our friends in the industry did the exact same thing. You know, we were able to take care of customers' needs either through drive-up windows or really have people, now that they were home, finally take that step to use online banking and mobile banking platforms and be available for them to be able to answer their questions. We also have two ITMs, interactive teller machines, where folks can go up much like to an ATM, but they can connect with somebody, you know, who's a, you know, I hate to use the expression of a real person, but they are, you know, a staff member who would be on the other end of the screen, much like you and I are this morning, and would be able to walk them through transactions. So we found, quite frankly, that, you know, people, customers really adapted well to the process. We got better at it, I think, as time went on, with being able to have curbside services, much like the local restaurants, for those transactions that were time consuming or perhaps a little bit more tedious to do at the drive-through. So that, you know, all worked well for us. We were really fortunate, as you remember, George, you know, we lost our main office 12 years ago to a fire. And we were well prepared for that, at least in theory, you never really want to have one. But equally important, you know, we've always been able to use that as a benchmark for being prepared for other things. So when the pandemic hit and I said, okay, folks, you know, we need to figure out, particularly in our big office where we have 120 people, you know, instantly the folks from IT said, well, we're all ready to be able to work remotely. And I, because they knew that I was never a fan of working from home. I immediately said, really? They said, oh yeah, we figured eventually we'd beat you down and you'd catch on, you know, part in jest, but what it allowed us to do is never miss a beat and be able to have people working from home and still, you know, continue to service customers without an interruption. I think we've all learned so much through this. You know, we've learned that the 8-to-5 day doesn't have to be the 8-to-5 day, and that it's allowed people to really acclimate to a better balance of work life, which is something that we've always strived to be able to accommodate. But I think we've been able to see this now. So, you know, it's I think is what I want to repeat 2020, not on your life. But what I would want to, you know, be able to know is that if something else comes along, that we're equally prepared for it. Most recently, you know, we closed the lobbies again about 2-3 weeks ago, as we started to hear more about the, you know, the uptick in cases and felt it was time to do it again. You know, because keep in mind, if we happen to have somebody who does test positive, you know, we have other people that have to quarantine, so it's difficult to staff for that, and we're very, very mindful of our customers' help as well. And then this past week, our office building where people were working about 2-to-3 days, now we've gone pretty much fully remote again until mid-January. Let's get through the holiday push.
When I talk to people in the midst of this pandemic, I always like to talk about things that have changed and ask what is going to change forever. What have we learned through this pandemic and what might change in banking moving forward? Is this perhaps going to lead to fewer branches down the road? I mean, there's always comments about how this region is overbanked. There's a branch on every corner. Do we need all these branches? Has this pandemic shown us that? And what else might change permanently because of this?
Well, you know, as it relates to branch banking, I can honestly say I've not found that crystal ball yet that tells us the real answer. And that is something, it's been, I think, the conundrum of banks for years. You know, customers love the convenience of technology, Clearly, it's, you know, we would prefer to be able to leverage technology and maintain, be on the cutting edge. But people also like to know that if they have an issue that they want to speak with someone in the bank, that the branch exists for them. You know, I think it's akin somewhat now to what we're seeing with telemedicine, as well as urgent care centers. So, you know, I don't think that there's really yet that whole answer to what will branches be like and will they still exist? I can say they will still exist. They'll probably be a smaller footprint than what we've seen for size before. And that the dependence on technology will continue to increase. There's no doubt about it. You know, as to, you know, other, you know, what have we learned through the pandemic? You know, as I kind of look back on it, I, you know, can say to myself, you know, you can never underestimate, you know, the power of people and the collaborative nature of people. And that when, you know, the times get rough, that people just all want to be a part of something in a way that they can help. We saw that certainly with the payroll protection program, loan program, you know, much like all of the banks where, you know, that wasn't even on anybody's radar screen when all of a sudden it became available and, you know, you needed to be part of it. Look, we wanted to do everything that we could to support our local businesses. But, you know, when you have a full staff working remotely and you have something like the PPP and customers were emotionally concerned about their, you know, the financial well-being, will they get that application in and approved by the SBA? You know, we had people literally working around the clock at home, had to tell them log off. So, you know, I think that, you know, what we've seen is just, you know, the power of people is amazing. It's collaborative. Everybody wants to be a part of making a difference. We've done a lot, obviously, you know, through the communities, in supporting the communities. It's been part of our hallmark and legacy for years. This past year, I would say we've probably donated thus far over $1.1 million or $1.2 million back into the communities, of which about $500,000 to $600,000 was all COVID related. You know, we supported the hospitals and, you know, first responders, the frontline workers. We really wanted to, you know, help them out as they were waiting to help us. So I think, you know, if anything, or what have we learned through the pandemic? We've learned to everybody to take a deep breath, understand that life isn't always about chasing after the next big business opportunity. It's a balance.
Okay. This is Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. I'm George O'Brien, the editor of Business West Magazine. I'm talking with Paul Scully. He's the president and CEO of Country Bank, and we've been talking about a lot of different things. Paul, we've got a few minutes left. I always like to talk to bankers about the economy and what's happening in the business community, especially with the small businesses. You've got a real good feel for what's happening there. You've got a pulse from talking to your customers. What are they saying
when
it comes to a close?
You know, they're concerned, and I think we're all, you know, and surely we share their concern. You know, the vaccine, I think, has given a lot of them great hope and promise. Some sectors are doing really well. Let's face it. We all know that the hospitality business, whether it's restaurants and you know, bars and nightlife or hotels are having a tough time of it. And that, you know, when you start to think about the number of people that they employ, it's not just the business itself that, you know, unto itself is certainly quite a concern, but it's all the people that they employ and then how they make ends meet. And that is a huge concern. The PPP was a great shot in the arm. I guess it's, you know, not to put it in with the vaccine, but it was a shot in the arm for businesses and for people to be able to keep them going. The first stimulus certainly helped some people. Now there's that, you know, we've got to see what happens with this next stimulus. People need that to get through the winter.
Do you get a sense, reading the tea leaves from Washington, that some additional relief might be coming for businesses?
You know, I think we're going to see something. It's a matter of, you know, when are we going to see it? You know, the $1,200 check that people received the first time around, was certainly, you know, a great opportunity for a lot of people. Did everybody, you know, necessarily need it who received it? Probably not. Hopefully they spent that money in local shops and businesses, because that's the key piece to it, is, you know, people are, you know, concerned to go into small places. And when you think about the number of small businesses throughout our region, they need people to feel comfortable to be able to go inside. You know, people don't, for the most part, hesitate on a Saturday to go into Home Depot or Lowe's to grab some paint because they're sick of looking at the same wall for 3 months. We've got to be able to do that with small businesses. They're concerned. I think that, you know, what we have seen is the business community, as it relates to banks and landlords, have really stepped up and been able to the extent that they can, be accommodative to their tenants, to be able to allow them, you know, some leeway. Certainly, we've been doing that with borrowers to be able to get through this. You know, this is an event that was unto itself. No one saw it coming. It was a flick of the switch, pretty much. It happened overnight. And, you know, I'm optimistic that with, you know, the vaccine and however that process is now going to finally get launched, that will be something that will help the businesses. But we're in for a tough winter. There's no doubt about it. And when we think of the number of restaurant type locations and the hundreds, if not thousands of people that they employ, and the venues that aren't having weddings, and the people that worked part time as a bartender or a wait staff member at those events to make ends meet, you know, it's a challenging time for them.
It is. Well, thank you for coming on today, and good luck with everything. Good luck with the bank. Good luck with the Worcester Red Sox and the Blue Wall. We really thank you for coming on. You had some great insight. So thank you again, Paul.
Happy holidays.
And to you too. Well, thank you, everyone. This has been another episode of Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. I'm George O'Brien, the editor of Business West Magazine. Stay well, and we'll see you next time.